It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light, and don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout Pennsylvania. It's time for quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. With week 10 of football in the books, time to get ready for week 11. No better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. To add to the excitement of Week 11, DraftKings Sportsbook is bringing back their can't-miss offer. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook yet, head to the App Store now. You don't want to miss this. All new users get the chance to earn a sign-up bonus up to $1,000 when signing up using promo code KSN. And don't worry if football isn't for you. DraftKings is giving all MMA fans who sign up now the chance to triple their winnings for any bet placed on UFC 255. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code KSN when you sign up and get up to $1,000. That's code KSN to get a deposit bonus up to $1,000 for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. And if football isn't for you, why are you listening to us? You've got to be a football guy, right? Anyway, this is quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Greg Pickle. And Greg, this segment, there's so much conversation about the new coaches coming into the season. And then once we've gotten going here, so much conversation about James Franklin. I'd like to dive into that a little bit deeper with you. And let's start at the top with James Franklin. We all know all of the issues going on this year. He's away from his family, the COVID issues, new coaches on his staff. He lost players to opt-out and injuries. And, of course, Journey Brown's medical issues, I'm sure, has weighed on everyone. What concerns a lot of the fans is they're feeling that James Franklin seems disinterested, distant on the sidelines, not into it. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. And when I look at the overall kind of picture of this coaching staff as a whole, I really think that I guess the one thing that jumps out at me, Jim, and I'm going to take this a little bit of a different direction, but I just want to discuss quick what I saw on the from the press box in Nebraska. And I saw the same thing from the press box at Penn State earlier this season. I just don't. There's just not this, like, you know, you would sometimes see James Franklin kind of running around firing guys up. And he did do that one time at the start of the game against Nebraska, but that was kind of it. Then he was kind of off to himself. And look, I know a lot of people make a big deal about him kind of standing off to the side, arms crossed, whatever. But he's always done that. I mean, that's kind of been his he's always kind of a little bit removed from things. He thinks that helps him take the emotion out of the sideline, which is an emotional place. And if that's the case, that's fine. But you know, you just don't see guys, players or coaches, Jim, who are really kind of, you know, rah-rah, let's go, let's get this thing turned around, let's use this momentum of a stop, that or the other thing. I will tell you this, I did see more of it in the second half. You know, there were a couple times when there were timeouts and the whole bench came off the field to kind of, you know, attaboy and rev up the guys who were on the field, whether it be offense or defense. I don't really recall the last time I saw that happening. So I think that was a positive, but overall, I think the coaches, I don't know if it was Zoom and they kind of lost touch with these guys because of that. I don't know if it was just they haven't been, you know, the older guys have been through a lot of position coaches. When you talk about offensive line and wide receiver, you know, they've learned from some different guys and maybe they just haven't been able to connect in the same way that some younger guys have. I don't know, but of all the problems this team has, coaching's certainly one of them. And it's not an easy fix. I mean, it's one that I think they can eventually fix, but it's not going to be easy.
During any season, obviously, you know, every game you have a team that wins, a team that loses. That's the way it works. However, in this season, not just at Penn State, you see other teams that you expected a whole lot more from them and fell flat. Is there a situation where just this crazy year has affected teams, and if things don't go your way, they seem to fall apart quickly? I'm looking at like Michigan and what's going on there. Or how about Minnesota? A whole lot more was expected of them. LSU, I know they had a lot of players graduate, but they're a machine, a recruiting machine. You didn't expect them to have a losing season, at least thus far. So is this a situation where we've got to just give everyone a mulligan for this season?
Yeah, I saw that Pat Forte from Sports Illustrated had put Penn State in the mulligan and James Franklin in the mulligan category for this season. And, you know, I get it, but I, at the same time, don't get it. I mean, this is a veteran team. And look, you can, I mean, anything that you start to talk about, hey, when you're in the conversation about Penn State football, it has to start with no Journey Brown, no Noah Kane, no Micah Parsons. Those three guys are obviously very extremely would have been extremely impactful to this team, to this offense, to this defense. But, Jim, I just have a really difficult time buying the fact that if those guys were there, Penn State would suddenly be this, you know, much improved, much better team. I just don't know if I buy that right now after what we've seen over the first 4 weeks. But maybe there would be more player leadership and player accountability if those three guys were active and healthy and here and doing all the things that we expect them to do. Maybe that would be the case. And again, maybe not. So, you know, are you willing to give them a mulligan? I guess the question then is this, and I do think you make a good point, that once the thing falls off the rails, I have to imagine it's hard in any year to get it back on track, let alone this year. But if you give the teams that are struggling a mulligan, then what do you say about the teams that have really taken a good step forward? I think it's Colorado. I got to go look, but I think it's Colorado, who has a brand new offensive coordinator and a brand new head coach, and they have found a way to start things well out in the Pac-12. So, you know, it's doable. Even when you have new coaches, it's certainly doable to win, and Penn State has not found a way to do that yet.
Well, I have a theory about momentum is such a huge thing. When we talk about recruiting, our buddy Ross Tucker will always talk about the momentum. When things start going right, they keep going right. When they start going bad, they keep going bad. And I feel like that's the case in college football, and even more so this year. And what was interesting in the Nebraska game was you bring Will Levis in, and it wasn't a great performance by him, but he didn't turn the ball over. He did a few good things, and all of a sudden the defense played much better. Is there a connection between the two?
That's a really good point. You know, I think that there could be, for sure. And again, one of the things that when you talk about the word connection, it's funny, Jim, because all of this stuff that Penn State struggled with kind of connects together. You know, they find themselves in a big hole. So then they have to, you know, then they have to throw more. And by throwing more, they struggle more on third down. And by struggling more on third down, they obviously would have to punt more. And then the punting game has been kind of hit or miss this year. And the turnovers are hurting the defense, but the defense isn't necessarily creating turnovers. Penn State's one of the best, teams in terms of turnover margin in the country. So all this stuff kind of connects, be it the offense and the defense, be it the coaches, be it the players. I mean, off-field issues, on-field issues, everything kind of connects. And the problem, I think the way I see it, and you probably see it this way too, Jim, is that all the connections are in negative ways, and you're not seeing many connections in positive ways. You know, you're not seeing the offense go down and score, and then the defense get a big stop consistently. You're not seeing the defense getting a big stop, and then the special teams turning that stop into better field position with a return. And I understand some of that's predicated on what the other team is doing, and they haven't played a bunch of slouches, but they've not exactly played a complete murderer's row either, though it's kind of hard to tell what that is in the Big Ten this year. But at any rate, all the stuff, yeah, all the bad connections are kind of lining up one by one by one by one by one right now. And when you consider all of them, it's not hard to believe this team is 0-4 based on what we've watched, based on what we see, and based on what the quotes are after the game, what the players are saying, and what the film says when you go back and watch that. So, yeah, put all those things together and get together in one big bowl, and it's just a lot of bad connections at this point in time.
And again, earlier I said about not wanting to pile on, but I will keep doing it. Sean Clifford with those terrible turnovers, and then the bad things just keep building on itself. Let's go back to James Franklin, though. this past weekend, we had a national article about James Franklin would be a great candidate for the coaching job at USC. And you could see when you look at this, using your analogy from 50,000 feet above, gee, an 0-4 disappointing season, everything going wrong, recruiting hasn't been going well for James Franklin. USC, a major player, a program that really just needs a big-time coach to get out there and revitalize it. It does seem like James Franklin would be a great fit there. Is this 2-2 equaling 4, or is it 2-2 equaling 7 that people are throwing out there?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think the biggest problem, and we may have talked about this last week, so you can feel free to cut me off, but I still think the biggest problem with, and South Carolina made a liar of me already, but I think the biggest problem right now, Jim, with the idea of coaching changes in the coaching carousel is who has the money right now to foot some of these massive buyouts. I mean, if you're going to get rid of your coach and hire a new one, it roughly probably the same thing that your old coach was making, if not a little bit more, to lure him, you know, lure somebody away from somewhere else. I mean, you're going to be paying a ridiculous amount of money to not just a guy and his staff who are not coaching your team, but now the new guy and his staff. And with athletic departments across the country facing such great revenue shortfalls this year because of the pandemic, I just don't – I have a hard time buying that a lot of teams are going to follow South Carolina and get rid of their coach and, you know, and take on that financial burden. So I don't know if it equals 7, Jim. I think it probably more is like 5 or 6 or 5.5. I mean, I don't doubt that there's some, you know, that there would be some interest there for James Franklin, but I just have a hard time seeing a lot of schools being willing to move on from, you know, their current coach just simply because of how much it costs to do so.
Let me interject here, Greg, with on the financial side. I don't think there's any way that Penn State would sever the relationship with James Franklin because of what it would cost. And what you have to do with these universities is calculate the cost benefit. At USC, do they have so much potential for revenue that a coaching change in a positive way would actually make up for the revenue they make for the buyout?
Sure.
You know, that's the simple math equation there. But I think this year has been just so off the rails, so different. It was at South Carolina, it was probably coming for a year or two for them to make this final call. All right. That's it for quarter number two. Stick around. We're going to ask Greg next.
DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is giving all new users the chance to earn a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use promo code KSN when you sign up. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.